This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good afternoon. This is the Daily Digest on The Bigger Picture. I'm Julia Jacobs with Tishao Eek. Two stories for you as always. In our first one, yesterday, Prime Minister Tan Sri Muhyiddin Yassin announced a nationwide movement control order, which would see most businesses shutting down with the exception of essential services. So we're going to take a look at that particular impact this would have on the B40 community while also explaining what Tan Sri Muhyiddin spoke about in the press con yesterday.
Yes, and continuing of the theme on the movement control order, we're also looking at how it will affect our mental health because, you know, most of us are going to be spending a lot more time indoors with much fewer social interactions. So we look at the psychological impacts of social distancing and ways in which we can cope with it. And so we are also asking you on Twitter, are you making specific plans to fill your time or to keep in touch with people while at home for the next few weeks? And if you have made any plans or have any ideas, do share those with us. You can tweet us at BFM Radio, WhatsApp us at 018-789-8899.
Well, onto our first story. So many of us would have heard or watched the special press conference held by the Prime Minister, Tan Sri Muhyiddin Yassin, last night. During the press conference, he announced that the entire country will be placed under a movement control order starting from the 18th until the 31st of March. So this, of course, is in response to the rise of the number of COVID-19 cases in the country over the past week. Yep. The sudden increase in the number of positive cases of COVID-19 alarmed many, with 119 new cases on Monday and another 125 cases yesterday. And most of the cases have been traced to known clusters. But right now, Malaysia has about 553 confirmed cases of COVID-19, with 42 out of those recovered and discharged from the hospital already.
Yep. And so the movement control order that the Prime Minister announced last night, it's being implemented by the government as a way to enforce social distancing and to flatten the curve. And we talked about this on our show yesterday as well, this curve being the distribution of the number of cases, the way that the disease behaves. And the movement control order does this by basically reducing the contact that we may have with others in our community. And the order was made under the Prevention and Control of Infectious Diseases Act 1988 and the Police Act 1967.
So the order involves several restrictions, the first being the prohibition of movement and mass assembly across the nation, which includes all religious, sports, social and cultural activities. Mm-hmm. And to enforce this, all places of worship and business premises must be closed, with the exception of supermarkets, public markets, grocery stores and stores selling basic necessities. He also added that all religious activities in mosques and surahs will be suspended, which includes Friday Press.
Yes, and another move is barring all Malaysians from leaving the countries. And for Malaysians who've just returned from overseas, they will need to undergo health checkups and self-quarantine for 2 weeks. All tourists and foreign visitors into the country also face similar restrictions on their entry.
And besides that, all nurseries, government and private schools will be closed. And this includes boarding schools, international schools and tafiz centres. And in addition to that, all public and private universities, as well as vocational training centres, they'll be shut too.
Yep. And lastly, all government and private premises will be shut except for those providing essential services such as water, electricity, energy, transportation and more. And the Prime Minister has also assured that the supply of food and daily essentials are sufficient nationwide.
Yeah, and many of us are worried about the social disruption that the movement control order will have on us, with people, you know, thronging supermarkets and grocery stores, buying up food products and household essentials.
Yes.
We've seen the mass panic hit already.
Right.
But perhaps not many of us have considered how such actions will impact others, especially those who simply do not have the luxury or the means to buy that much goods in advance.
Yes, and while the closure of businesses will affect almost everyone in the country, it will probably hit those in the B40 community harder than the rest of us. You know, we may be able to cushion the impact in one way or another, you know, whether it's through our savings or the ability to continue working from home, sort of that comfort of a monthly guaranteed salary, right. You know, but there are many other Malaysians and especially migrant workers as well who may have their work and pay affected by the closure of businesses and premises that do not fall under that essential services list that we talked about earlier.
That's right.
If you are already living from day to day, how will all of these restrictions affect you? So to help us get a better sense of the impact of these restrictions on the B40 community, I spoke to S. Aruchalvam from Parti Socialist Malaysia, and I started by asking him who among the B40 community would be most affected and why.
I think firstly, the B40 community, I think they would respond better to a crisis than the middle class or upper middle class. Generally, you know, because they are used to living with short food and, you know, in more difficult circumstances. Mm-hmm. But having said that, I think in most of the places where the urban poor stay is quite congested.
Yes.
So the whole idea, you know, like even in Hong Kong, you know, a lot of people try to leave their home to go to other places because it's less congested.
Yeah.
So when we have such a no movement, so they are confined to their, maybe their PPR flats and all that.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that would be, quite a congested place, you know.
Mm.
And I think that would be one problem they would face.
Yeah.
I think the second issue is a lot of, a lot of B40 work, they also work like as cleaners, you know, cleaners in hospitals, in security guards.
Yes.
I mean, this group of people are normally quite neglected, you know, because people talk about frontline when they talk about doctors, nurses and all that.
Mm-hmm.
There are a lot of B40 support people who work there, and they don't get so much of attention and protection, you know, mm-hmm. in the sense that they are cleaning the... They are not given extra job,
yeah.
you know.
Yeah.
So I hope that, you know, some things is done to also reward them on this big task they are doing, you know, keeping this whole place clean, including offices and other places as well.
Yes.
And I think in the rural areas, I think B40 communities would be able to handle things much better. They'll be more self-sustained, you know. Because they will have like their livestock, you know, they will have their own farming and all that.
Mm-hmm.
So it's more the urban poor,
yes.
communities, and I see a lot of them are very actually they are less. I mean, their fear is more on like, will they get paid?
Yes, exactly.
Those are their bigger concern than, you know, taking time off and all that. You know, they're asking. I was met by some people who kept asking me whether wages will be paid.
Yes.
Of course, next month, end of this month or next month, they will know, you know, how much of wages they were paid for the month of March. You know?
Yeah. Yep.
And I think that would impact them quite a bit, yeah.
That's right. From PSM's view, you know, what measures can the government take to cushion this impact, you know, when wages and livelihoods are disrupted?
I think Bank Negara has to play a big role. A lot, you know, household debt is one of the biggest debt among the people.
Mm-hmm.
So I think if the government can suspend loan repayment for a period of time, maybe 3 to 6 months, depending on the situation, then, you know, people will because a lot of their money goes back paying debt,
yes,
house loans, you know,
mm-hmm.
even things, you know, like buying fridge or TV and everything is by loan, you see.
Yeah.
So I think Bank Negara could actually assist by asking all the banks to actually do a suspend this thing. And then we also feel there's reserve money in Bank Negara where, you know, where you can cushion off, you know, by paying wages.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think that some of it has already been told by the Prime Minister, but not very clear, lah. So I think, you know, most of the time we talk about bailing off big companies during recessions and all that.
Yeah.
But I think very critical to bail off people, normal people, because they are the one who actually keep the economy going, is it? Because they are the one who buy things and all that.
Yes.
So I think they should be have in to deal with that. I think wages for the poor, you know, when they should be Bank Negara should be able to pay off money, mm-hmm. and I think government should have small and medium range companies lah. Yeah. I think the big companies okay, you know, SMEs. I think there must be some form of aid given to them during this financial problems.
Yeah. I mean, now we're talking about restrictions over the next 2 weeks, but looking at how, you know, the outbreak has been going on for the past few weeks, actually, what impact do you foresee on the B40 community in the short and long term?
I think the for the short term, I think it's more adjusting to this insecurity of jobs, you know, because when big companies close down and all that, mm-hmm. I think they'll be facing this problem. And I think the way is, I think there should be enough, you know, Malaysia, I think, has been handling it quite well, you know, comparatively, our health system, our health communities, I think they're doing a good job. But I think what is needed is to use what we call community organizing. You know, this is the time we tap, because we got a lot of NGOs and, you know, you got a lot of community-based groups, which where we need to help this group, because they are the one directly in contact with a lot of people.
Yep.
So these groups need to get all the support. You know, the government should deal with these groups, you know.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then these groups can actually play a big role. They can advise the government actually how to reach out to poorer communities, how to help OKUs. You know, I think there are enough people who with expertise. You know, we have to tap on these groups of people.
All right. And lastly, Arul, what can the public do to help ease the pressure on the B40 community? I mean, especially among the middle-income groups, I think you see a lot of panic buying and possibly some hoarding of essentials. You know, how would this impact B40? And what can we do to be more mindful?
You see, today I just visited some grocery shops near my house.
Yep.
And it looks okay, you know, very well stocked. A lot of people are quite calm. But when you go to supermarkets, you
yes.
see a complete different scenario, you know.
Yes.
You see shelves empty, you know.
Yes.
And I think this is the problem. And I think one is the government should actually have in all supermarkets, they should have a quota system, you know. People can only buy goods like one item, you know, there should be some control at the counter itself. I think the government should put that as one of their, you know, directives, you know, to all supermarkets. When people buy items, and these are like controlled items, food and all that,
yes.
so that more people should get it. But I think again, is the whole thing about educating the people, you know, not to panic, you know.
Mm-hmm.
We're not in an emergency, like we're not on a curfew, you know. We can still go out, we can still go to the grocery shops and all that, you know.
Yeah, that's right.
But because there's a lot of chain reaction, because people start buying and then people are scared, others are buying, they go and buy.
Mm-hmm.
And I think a lot of education needs to go by it.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah.
Thank you so much, Arul, for speaking to me. So that was S. Aruchalvam from Parti Socialist Malaysia talking about the impact of the restriction of commercial and business activities, particularly on the B40 community. And Prime Minister Tan Sri Muhyiddin Yassin yesterday, before announcing the movement control order, he had a separate press conference which revised the economic stimulus package to include additional benefits for employees affected by the COVID-19 pandemic. And this included, you know, employees who are affected will receive financial assistance of RM600 each month for a maximum period of 6 months, and workers asked to take unpaid leave beginning the 1st of March will be eligible for that financial assistance.
Yeah, and it was also announced that the RM200 payment for Bantuan Sara Hidup recipients will be brought forward to March 16th from the initial date in May, and this is expected to benefit about 3.8 million BSH households.
Mm-hmm.
And there will also be a nationwide electricity discount of 2% for the industrial industrial, commercial and domestic users.
Yeah. So I hope we will continue to hear more of some of these measures that will help to cushion the impact for those who will be most hard hit. Apart from, you know, the employees who can get the financial assistance, I'm also thinking about those working irregular jobs in informal sectors where they are not within reach. I'm just hoping that they won't be left behind.
Definitely. Continue to tweet your ideas to us. You know, just send that to at BFM Radio. You can send us messages at through WhatsApp at 018-789-8899. But I'm afraid that's all the time we have for this segment. We're going to leave you with Canned Heat with Let's Work Together. But stay tuned to the Daily Digest on The Bigger Picture, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.